Ephesians chapter 6. I remember I was a young preacher and I was at church one Wednesday night, and it was where our Bible college was. We had to go to church on Wednesday nights there. And the pastor, who was the head of the Bible college, called on one of the young students and said, "Come up here and preach for us tonight." And his eyes got about that big and his mouth fell open. I'm not prepared. He said, "Brother Ron, you prepared?" I said, "Always." Amen. Always. I got three sermons just waiting for somebody to let me preach. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. I want to talk to you. This is a pastoral sermon today. Okay, on Sunday morning, I usually preach along evangelistic lines for folks that are not saved, maybe to get saved, and those who are saved to revel in their salvation. And then on Sunday nights, I preach more pastoral, what to do, when, how, what, where, and things like that. So this morning, since we have a lot of new people, and there's some people just getting into the Lord and getting into living for the Lord, I want to help you, okay? I'm not an evangelist, though I do preach evangelistically. I'm a pastor. That's what I was called to do, pastor. Preaching comes with that. And so I want to help you. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to lift you up. And Ephesians chapter 6 is written to believers. Now, if you're not a believer, you listen real good and you might become one today. Faith comes by hearing. But start with verse 10, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, I want you to get your mind off everything. Forget the politics. Forget all these other things that are wrestling against your mind and against your spirit. I want you to listen for just a few minutes. And I want to tell you how to do something that I learned a long time ago. And some of it ignorantly, but some of it through good pastoral teaching. Number one, I want you to notice three words. I'm not talking about the sword, the shield, and those things today. I want you to notice three words in this passage of Scripture. Verse 12, he says, wrestle. Wrestle. That means fight, struggle with. Fight, wrestle, fight. Verse 13, he said, withstand. To withstand means to resist, endure. And then verse 14, he says, stand. Stand. Maintain an upright position. Do not fall. Stand. Now, here's what he's saying. Number one, we are to wrestle and fight against spiritual wickedness and all these things listed. The Christian life is not that bed of roses that some unbiblical person told you. The Christian life is a fight. your whole... Now, the devil didn't notice you before you were saved. Don't ever say the devil's down there at the beer joint. He don't bother those people. He's already gone. He's not taking notice of them. He's over at the church house. That's where he goes after you, is at the church house. You go down to the nightclub, the bar, and all that. He ain't even down there. His crowd is. But he's not going to bother you down there. It's when you're trying to live right that Satan hates you. He's going to throw those fiery darts at you, and he's going to send opposition. So you've got to learn that this is not for weak people. This is people that have to be full of the Spirit of God, strong in the faith.
Yes,
we've got to fight.
Yes.
Now, the world looks at Christians and says, well, I thought you was a Christian, and you weren't supposed to fight. Well, my Bible tells me it's fight.
Amen.
Fight against wicked things. Number two, I want you to notice this. One day you're going to get tired. We get tired of fighting. You ever been tired of fighting against bad things and bad people? I have.
Yes.
We'll get tired of fighting. And then he says, when you get tired of fighting, then you withstand. Withstand means push it away, resist it with a little more power, but you're not fighting anymore, but you're withstanding. You're not going to let it take over. But then when you get too tired, you can't fight and you can't resist, he says, just stand.
Yeah.
Maintain an upright position. Do not fall back. Do not retreat. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't have yourself a little pity party. Just stand.
Amen.
You just take a stand. You ever heard that? I took a stand. That means you couldn't fight anymore. You couldn't resist anymore. So you just stood there. You stood your ground, your convictions, your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just stand.
Amen.
And then verse
14
through
18.
Did you notice this? Everybody has burdens. Did you know everybody has burdens? Say amen. You're Baptist, say amen. Everybody, y'all say amen here. Say hallelujah, glory to God. If you don't know what else to say, just say hot dog. Amen. Look, everybody has burdens. Rich and poor. Black and white. Every race, every person that has ever been born on planet Earth has burdens. Would you agree with me? Amen. Every person born on planet Earth has heartaches. Would you agree with that? Everybody has heartaches. And you say, well, if I just won that $1 billion lottery, I'd be all right. No, you'd have a billion more headaches. You'd have relatives you didn't know existed, and they really don't. Brother Holroyd, the forever philosopher. Brother Holroyd's a philosopher. He said, I was thinking about that lottery. If I won it. I said, I hope you ain't playing it. He said, oh, I'm not. But if I did, how would you tithe $1 billion? You couldn't give it to your local church completely. It would destroy your church. You couldn't give it to people. It would destroy people. How would I? And he had all kind of ideas, but in the end, they all failed. Now listen, money, position, prestige, power, whatever it might be, everybody has burdens. Everybody has heartaches. And did you know what? Everybody has a reason to have those things. If you're married, you got a reason. If you got children, you have more reasons. Now, I want to give you a couple of examples. I know that 95% of people in this room today, including myself, have a reason to weep.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Come on. I doubt. The only people in this room that would not have a reason to weep, I believe, would be children that would be so young that didn't understand things yet. Everybody has a reason to weep. Now, God tells me what I've got to do about heartaches and burdens and weeping. He says, I'm to wrestle, I'm to endure, I'm to withstand, and then I'm just to maintain. Now, I'm going to tell you what these words mean. Number one, stand means don't move, don't change. God brought you this far. He's not going to stop on you now.
Amen.
Do not change. Don't back up. Don't give in. Don't apologize. I never apologize for my Christianity. Don't apologize. Now, God knows when those burdens come. God knows when those heartaches come. God knows when those trials come. And He knows that we'll be tempted to change, so He says, don't change. You just stand there. So I thought about it. What is it I shouldn't change? What is it I shouldn't think? Verse 16, first of all, He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that'll guard you, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, here's some things that we shouldn't change. Number one, what you believe about Christ in the Bible. What you believe about your salvation. Do not change. And listen, some say Christianity has changed, but no, it has not. They may be changing, and they may be backing up or falling down or retreating, but the Word of God never changes. It's sure and forever. And this whole world and the whole universe will be judged by that Word of God. In the end, it'll be judged by the Word of God. And so don't you apologize. Don't back up. Don't give in for what you believe about your salvation. Don't apologize for being saved. God did that for you. And when people attack you for your Christianity, don't you apologize for being a Christian. People have died martyrs' death for not apologizing for being a Christian. Don't be a coward and run now. Brother Holroyd's talking about the Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you ever get it, it's just a little book, probably 90 pages long. It gives the history of the real church. And in it, it's got historical accounts, and it'll give you the date and the place and where this account came from. It's all cataloged of people that stood up for their faith when the world hated the faith of Jesus Christ. And they would tie one arm to this horse and one arm to this horse and make them deny their faith or shoe the horses, rip them apart. They'd rip up mothers with a knife and cut the babies out of their belly. They would kill little children in front of their parents trying to get them. And those people stood. They didn't apologize for their... And they went to the grave glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, you don't have to apologize for this world for what you believe about Christ. You don't have to modernize it. You don't have to make it relevant. It'll never be relevant to a lost world. It's irrelevant to a lost world. The Bible says that it's the foolishness of preaching that saved people. It's not the relevance of preaching. It's the foolishness. Who would think that one man could live and live a sin, be born a virgin of birth and live a sinless life and die in the place of sinners and rise from the grave the third day and sit on the right hand of the Father intercede for us? Who would ever believe a thing like that? That's unbelievable until He gives you the faith to believe it. Don't you apologize for that faith. He gave it to you. And don't modernize it. You leave it alone. Many's come and gone. We've seen them come. We've seen them come and go since we've been saved. Many troubles have come and gone. We've seen troubles come and gone since we've been saved. So we just stand. A lot of people didn't. I was saved March the 5th, 1978. God Himself reached down and saved me. I didn't do that. He did that. I didn't join the church. I got saved. I got born again that day. I had a meeting with the Holy God of heaven, the Creator of the universe. And that day, I received His Son as my Savior. And He gave me a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. And I walked out of that building a new creature, and I've never been the same. And I'm not going to apologize for that. Well, you're too old-fashioned. Amen. The Bible's a pretty old book. Well, you're too narrow-minded. That's what Jesus said. It's narrow way that gets to heaven. Wide's the way that leads to destruction. Let's just stand. Don't change what you believe about the Bible. Don't change about anything. Trouble comes, then you're going to wrestle with it. And you're going to wrestle with people that's against you in trouble and trial. And then you're going to get tired. And then you're just going to resist it and try to keep it away from you. But when all that's over, you just stand there and let God do the work. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't change what you believe about the Bible. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. They're coming out with a new translation every week. Throw that junk away. Book publishers make those, not holy men of God that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. They do it to sell more books. It's all about sales. You're to stand for the fundamentals of the faith. You know, people are afraid of that word now, the fundamentals of the faith. You had fundamentals of math. Y'all remember that? Where you learn one, alt plus alt is alt. That's the way Jethro said it. Y'all don't watch Jethro? Bodine? And alt plus one is one. That's the fundamentals of math. You learn the fundamentals of English. Now, okay, people up north, we don't use them, but we learned them. We use the Scotch-Irish version of that. Amen? And you like our music, so quit complaining about the way we talk. But you learn the fundamentals of English. You learn the fundamentals of things that, in order to apply them to your life. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Well, there's the fundamentals of the faith. Number one, the Bible is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. It stands forever. Doesn't need revising or changing. This English version is over 400 years old, and it still works. Leave it alone. The Bible's the Word of God. Jesus was the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died in our place, vicarious atonement, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and rose up to heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. That's Jesus Christ. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, and being born again, that's a fundamental faith. You don't get saved by joining church. You get saved by being born again. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's a fundamental faith. You can't be a Christian without receiving Him. Don't apologize for that. Fight against that stuff. Resist that stuff. Then when you can't do anything else, just stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
Salvation is forever. It never changes. You didn't get saved because you was good enough, and you're not going to stay saved because you're good enough. You'll never be good enough.
Amen.
It only takes one sin to classify you as a sinner.
Amen.
How many of you hadn't sinned this week? Right? No, don't raise your hand. You'll be sinning. Your baby's a sinner. Your children are sinners. And by the way, ladies, had a good ladies meeting yesterday packing those boxes, and had a lady teaching, would have taught your children how to sew. They were making stuff. And your girls need to be around older women,
yes.
Christians, so they can teach them.
Right.
The world's teaching them 7 days a week.
Amen.
Now you go ahead and you just think they're going to catch on to this stuff. They won't just catch on to it. The Bible says that they're supposed to, the older women are supposed to teach the younger women. Same way with the men. I didn't know how to be a man, never had a father-in-law. You didn't know how to be a man, and you had fathers until the Father of Heaven adopted you, and then other men began to teach you how to be a Christian. Stand on that. I'm not apologizing for that. And by the way, every baby has a mother and a father. I stand on that. They don't have two mothers. They don't have two fathers. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Wasn't Eve and Evelyn. Preacher, you're homophobic. No, I'm not. They are. Amen. They are. Hey, read your Bible, man. I'm not backing up on that. Sin is sin. Drinking liquor is wrong. Drinking alcohol is wrong. Gambling. I'm not backing up on that. Now, you're going to get in a fight if you do it. If you say things like this, they're going to fight you. And you're going to have a fight when you first start, and they're probably going to knock you back a loop. When they do, just resist, and they're going to keep hitting. And when they do, just stand there and say, okay, God, I'll take care of this.
Amen.
You need to look at your children sometimes and say, this is a Christian home. We live like Christians. And when you get old enough to go to work and buy your own food and have your own house, you can be anything you want to. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Well, my kids are getting mad. Well, where are they going to go? Ain't nobody else going to keep them up.
Right.
Stand on that. And by the way, if you got teenagers, it's a fight. It's a wrestle. Mark Twain said, when they're 12, you nail them in a box and don't let them out till they're 25 because they lose their mind. Don't you let them kids run your house. You're supposed to be the father. You're supposed to be the mother. Amen. Preacher, you're just rambling. I know it. My baptism person didn't show up. I'm prime trying to preach. I was going to preach on baptism. But the Bible is the Word of God. Hey, the fundamentals of the faith. Here's something else you ought to stand on: convictions.
Yes.
Now, some of you don't even know what that word means. You're thinking I'm talking about a court of law. That's not what I'm talking about. Biblical convictions. What that means is what is right and what is wrong. And you need to get you some. If I was saved in 1978 and it was wrong in 1978, did you know it's still wrong today? If you were saved in 1948 and it was wrong, did you know it's still wrong today? God doesn't change. God's Word doesn't change. Society changes. Yeah. Oh, they voted in this and they made this a law. Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Get you some biblical convictions and stand on them. Ooh, there's so much I could preach right there. Oh, my goodness. Did you know biblical convictions? I think if you're saved, you ought to go to church. That's a conviction. When I got born again, I fell in love with Jesus, and I lost many jobs over working on Sunday. Well, preacher, I had to work on Sunday. Well, if you can go to church work on Sunday, that's fine with me. But I worked for Duke Power one time building that nuclear plant. That ought to scare you right there. I pulled wire in that thing. It might blow up any day. I was 20-something years old and had no clue what I was doing. And they came to me and said, we're going to be working the next few Sundays. I hadn't been saved long. I said, I won't. Well, you have to. I said, I don't have to do anything. I live in America. Oh, yeah, or we'll write you up for not working on Sunday. I said, how many write-ups does it take to get fired? He said, 3. I said, go ahead and write all 3 of them because I won't be here next Sunday or the next or the next or any other Sunday that you work. Well, you'll lose your job with Duke Power. I said, back then in the 1980s, I said, jobs are all over the place. I'll just go somewhere else, get me another job. But I'm going to church on Sunday. That's where I got saved. That's where I get blessed. That's where God blesses me and teaches me and leads me and guides me. And I'm standing on that. And I don't care what y'all do. Get you some convictions about the Lord's house. Preacher got quiet on that one. Amen. I believe in Sunday school. I do. That's a conviction of mine. Let me tell you something. This world, we're in it all those hours every week. And you'd be surprised what 1 hour of good medicine from the Word of God would help you with. Get your conviction to stand on. I believe we ought to come out from among them, be you separate. I don't think we'll be a part of this old world. I don't think we'll live like they do, look like they do, behave like they do. Come on, help me here. I'm not against baseball, but if baseball keeps you from being right with God, resist it. Football, I like racing cars. I've always been a hot rodder. Grew up in Lancaster. We all had hot rods. And I'm all about, but you know what? If they have a race on Sunday, count me out. I ain't going to be there. Boy, I better go on. Now, troubles come. Heartaches are going to come. Disappointments are going to come. We're going to wrestle. We're going to withstand. And then when we've done everything else that we can do, we can't wrestle anymore, we can't fight anymore, we're just going to stand there and wait on the Lord. I still believe lost people do not go to heaven. I still believe saved people go to heaven. There's churches all over this town. There's one church in town that the preacher preached on hell 2 or 3 times. Deacons came to him and said, we're going to have to start checking out your sermons before you preach them. I'd have looked at him and said, it's going to be a cold day. Where are you going before you'll ever check out my sermon before I preach it? Because if you're against hell, you're against people going to heaven. I mean, if you're against preaching on hell, I'm against hell. I'm just not against preaching on it. I still believe drunkenness is wrong. I don't care if you call it wine or a cooler or juice or a beer or liquor, whatever you call it, it's still wrong. Got quiet on that one too. I still believe fornication is wrong. That's sexual relations outside of marriage. Down south, we call it shacking up. It's wrong. It's wrong when I was saved. It's wrong today. It'll be wrong tomorrow. I still believe adultery is wrong. That's sexual relations in marriage, amen, with somebody else. I believe that's wrong. Now, I know that don't go along with your favorite TV program, but it's still wrong. Your TV program's wrong. Did you know I still believe homosexuality is wrong? I can't believe my preacher said that. It's on Facebook. Yes, it's wrong. It's a perverted, it is a perverted relationship that should be between a man and a woman. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make y'all bad. Y'all get quiet over here now. I'm starting to worry about you. Don't you change. You just stand there. Well, I won't have any friends. Jesus didn't have any end. At the end, he had none either. Well, people won't like me. They didn't like him either. He said, they hated me, they'll hate you. Jesus wasn't this little effeminate, long-haired, hippie-looking thing that people hang on their walls. He was a man of God. He stood against wrong. He loved people. Yes, he loved people. I believe you ought to love people. But you ought to stand even when you love people. Oh man, I can't believe I wrote this one down here. I still believe bad music's bad. Fiery darts. I still believe bad music is bad. And bringing it into the church is worse. It's bad enough that out there in the world, but to drag it into the church and dirty up the church with that stuff. Oh, God help you. I stand against it. Well, you won't have me in your church. Well, I'm sorry. Looks like it's working pretty good to me. These new preachers coming out of seminaries, wanting to rename them cemeteries. And they're bringing in all this worldly stuff. I mean worldly music. And it appeals to this. It doesn't appeal to this. It's wrong. And the day you hear something called Christian rap in here is the day I must be already dead and gone. I'll stand against it. Oh, man. Oh, preacher, why'd you do that? I still believe nakedness is wrong. Put you on some clothes. Look up here, parents, grandparents. Put some clothes on those children. They look like little Britney Spears running around. Amen. Put some clothes on. I know Britney Spears is old. It's somebody newer now. Beyonce or some other hussy. That's right. Put some clothes on that girl. You're tempting little boys to think things they ought not even be thinking yet. And you boys, pull your britches up. I don't want to see your underwear. That's why they call them underwear. See if that lady shut up and get baptized, you wouldn't have to hear all this. See, I think you ought to stand. I think, young people, you know what will happen if you young people start to take, look up here, kids. You know what happened if you start taking a stand for Christ? You'll get respect from people. And those boys that you think so much of that you're enticing and those girls that you're enticing, you know what? They'll run away from you like you got the plague, man. They'll leave you alone. Help me. Parents? We don't need a coffee shop ministry. There's coffee everywhere. Drink your stinking coffee and come to church. We need to have old-fashioned, barnstorming, window-rattling church. We don't need a nightclub ministry. The nightclub's where you go, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is really going to make some of you mad. We don't need to have a special ministry for bikers or anybody else. We just need to preach the gospel to every creature. These preachers are destroying their churches doing this stuff. See, they're being apologetic and they don't want to take a stand because they're afraid it'll offend somebody. Yes. Well, you know what? The first time I ever heard I was a dirty, rotten sinner going to hell, you know that offended me?
Amen.
That hurt my feelings. That preacher hurt my feelings. And every time I go back to that church, did you know he hurt my feelings? He pointed that big old fat finger right at me every time I went. And it didn't matter what he was preaching on, it hurt my feelings because I was lost and going to hell and he was preaching the Bible. Give me that old time relief. Now we've all got burdens. Life's complicated. But God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. You know the same God that blessed your grandma will bless you. You know the same God that protected your great-great-grandpa will protect you. You know the same God that made America great at one time will make it great again. You don't have to back up. You ain't got to change nothing. Just honor Him. Did you know the same one that saves you keeps you? Did you know He frees you? Did you know He guides you? Did you know He delivers you? He comforts you. And in the end, He's going to take you to heaven. God does that. So you wrestle. And then you withstand. And then, when all else is gone, you just stand and you wait on the God of heaven.
Amen. Yes.
Brother Bonnie, He'll comfort us. He'll dry your tears. He'll be for you when everybody else is against you. I read that old thing one time, said Jesus is one of those friends that walks in when everybody else walks out. You need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, have biblical living. You don't need to change what you do if you're walking right, you're doing right. We need to keep obeying the Great Commission, trying to keep people out of a devil's hell, going all the world and preach the gospel. We need to keep on witnessing. We need to keep on sharing. We need to keep on soul winning. That doesn't mean that you'll have the best life, but you'll have a good life.
Amen.
I started in the ministry not about a year after I got saved. Did you know I believe God's blessed me because I've tried to be obedient? I haven't always been obedient, but I've tried. But you know, I don't believe peer pressure and culture and things like that should change us. I don't believe trial and tribulation should. You know what I think it should do? It should drive us more toward Him, not away from Him. Now today, listen to me. Some of you, you're going through things. Heartache, heartbreak, disappointment. Some of you may be remorse or guilt. But you're saved. And somebody lied to you and told you those things wouldn't happen after you got saved. They didn't tell you what Scripture said that because there's no Scripture that says that. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world.
Amen.
Now, you just stand there. You done wrestled as much as you can. You've tried to keep those kids in line. You done fought. You've tried to do right. You've tried to stand right. And others may not understand that. So now you quit fighting and you just resist. You say, I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to receive that. I'm not doing that. And now you've gotten tired of even that. So now you just stand there. And when everything else fails, He'll walk in.
Amen.
Come on now.
Now, He's going to help you through the fight. He's going to help you through the withstanding. But when you stand and you got nothing else to do, nothing else to lean on, nowhere else to go, stand and see Him walk in. Some of you have got heartaches right now. Problems right now. Don't you give up. Don't you let that devil get you out of the will of God. Some of you young people, you want to be a good Christian. You go to school, people make fun of you. That's okay. They made fun of Him too. And by the way, when they need prayer, they don't go to the others that's laughing. They go to the one they made fun of.
That's right.
Some of you church members. Now maybe today you're not saved. You don't have the strength to fight, wrestle, spiritually. And you don't have the strength to withstand. And you don't have the strength to stand. Without Jesus Christ, you're going to end up in a bad place.
Amen. Come on, brother.
And you need Jesus.
Right.
He said, I came that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly.
Yes.
Now, why don't you join up with Him today?
Amen.
He's already lived a life you can't live and paid for those sins you committed and rose from the dead so you could be justified. And He's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now praying for you. Did you know that? If you're not saved, He's saying, Father, have mercy on him. have mercy on her. I've already paid for those sins. They just need to receive the payment.
Amen.
You'd be a fool today if I held up a check in here and said, I've got a check right here that will pay for everything you owe.
Amen.
All you got to do is come get it. You'd be a fool not to do it. But Jesus Christ holds up the check, paid in full. He said, if you'll just receive it, you can have it.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God.